John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana is one of the most familiar passages of the Bible. And it is unique to the fourth gospel, the gospel according to St. John. This story is often read at wedding ceremonies. John's gospel always calls miracles signs. A sign points to something beyond itself. You can be so involved in looking at this miracle that you miss its significance. It was impossible just to witness such a miracle without asking what this miracle pointed to. John uses word simeon or sign in the original language, because these works of performed by Jesus are not just supernatural miracles, but are signs that unveil the glory and power of God, working through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And in fact, every miracle in the Bible points beyond itself. The turning of water into wine is Jesus' first public act in John's Gospel. It is the first of Jesus' 8 signs in the Gospel of John. Therefore, it is the inaugural sign of God's presence in the world through Jesus. In John's Gospel, there are a total of 8 miracles, 7 public and 1 private. 7 is the number of symbolizing perfection, especially spiritual perfection. And 8 is the number symbolizing rebirth. Circumcision is on the 8th day of a boy's life, which is born into the Sinai covenant. And it is the number of salvation and resurrection. And here we see a glimpse of resurrection. The third day, mentioned the third day language in verse 1, suggests to us Jesus' resurrection after 3 days. It also gives us a clue into the symbolic nature of this particular miracle. So does the wedding setting. As wedding and banquet imagery is used to symbolize the messianic era mentioned in Isaiah 54, 62, Matthew 22. And Revelation chapter 19, the passage which has been read to us this morning, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Weddings in the Middle East, like many other parts of the world, can last anything up to 7 days. But why 7 days? On the 7th day of creation, according to tradition, there was a wedding. Adam and Eve. This is why a wedding celebration lasted 7 days in the Old Covenant tradition. By the way, the Bible starts with marriage and it ends with marriage. So if the celebration is for 7 days, it was very easy for them to run out of refreshments. There would have been no formal written invitations, but all the relatives and the entire village were supposed to be there at the wedding reception. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. She is introduced first because of her prominent role in the story, because her role seems to be more than that of a guest. One gets the impression that the couple being married are either friends or possibly related to Mary, and that she is helping with the arrangements, especially the serving of the food and wine. She seems to be one of the first to know that the wine is running out. She instructs the servants to do whatever Jesus tells them to do. And they appear willing to take her instructions. Have you imagined about that? Jesus said, fill the jars. And they did not question why. Why should we do that? Well, into the festivities, Jesus' mother becomes aware of a most embarrassing situation. The wine has run out. And there appears to be no solution. Luckily, the guest seems unaware of what is happening. If something isn't done, it will be embarrassing for everyone. It will be a very shameful act for the bridal parties. So Mary came to Jesus to tell him that this was so. Jesus' response to his mother in verse 4 sounds a bit rude and harsh to us. It seems something of a reproach or rebuke. Literally, "Woman, what is there between me and thee?" That's the literal translation. But he is not being hostile to her. Woman is not a derogatory term. It is not an insult. It's a lovely word that is used in the Middle East. The English equivalent would be lady or ma'am. When Jesus said farewell to his mother, he called her woman at the cross. That's again ma'am or lady. Mary believed in Jesus. He did something about the need in such a way that the relatives were unaware. It all happened in a back room so that the relatives never knew what had happened. Dear friends, this miracle or sign, if you like, points to Christ as the Son of God. And what that tells us about God is that God really cares about what happens in our lives. God is not some remote, distant being sitting above the clouds in the sky. God is actively involved in the world. He's actively present in the world. And he wants to be actively involved in your life and mine. It tells us that only God had the power to create what is not there. Only God has the power to do this. That's why the disciples on this occasion saw his glory and believed in his name. And this gospel, by the way, was written so that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This little story also points to Christianity. This miracle summarizes a lovely truth about Christianity. The 6 washing jars which are mentioned were for washing, cleansing, purification. They were not there for drinking. The Jewish were very particular. They were more particular with all their multitudes of laws about washing their hands before meals and between courses. So they had these jars full of water. That was a symbol of their religious washing of the outside. And Jesus took the very heart of their religion, which consisted in external ceremonials, and he changed the water of washing to the wine that makes the heart of man glad inside. The difference between other religions and Christianity is the difference between water on the outside of you and wine in the inside of you. It is the difference between duty and delight. It is the difference between doing something you have to do to doing something you want to do. It is the difference between obeying rules and rejoicing. Dear friends, we need the purification that only Jesus can provide. This morning we have also read from the book of Revelation chapter 19, where we find the marriage of the Lamb. Because of Christ's self-offering, sinful human beings can become his spotless bride. And with this cleansing, this forgiveness, this purification that only Jesus can provide, what is the result? The answer: life and joy and celebration. In Revelation chapter 19, John writes, "And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." The Bible tells us that there is an open invitation for all of us to be a part of that celebration. It is up to us whether we accept the invitation or not. Think of it. What is the first thing that will happen when God reigns? The answer is marriage. Sometimes people ask, why was Jesus never married? The simple answer to that is, he is going to be. Jesus is the bridegroom and he is going to get married. You can read all about his wedding in the book of Revelation. In our gospel passage this morning is the last mention of Jesus drinking wine. For 3 years, it's never mentioned again until 3 years later, he is sitting at a table. And now he takes the wine and makes it a symbol of something else. He takes the cup and says, drink it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I make you a promise that I am not going to drink wine again until we drink it at the greatest wedding reception of all time, until we drink it anew at the marriage supper of the Lamb, at the great banquet in heaven. And Jesus won't drink wine with us this morning. He waits until we get into heaven. Then we will drink wine together. He says, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the wine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The following day, he was offered some wine on the cross, and he wouldn't drink it. When he came back from the dead, he ate fish but did not drink wine. He's keeping that for the future. A reading from the book of Genesis. It's a beautiful reading. It focuses our attention on the theme of kingly priesthood in association with the Eucharistic offering of bread and wine. I wish I had time to explain it, the order of Melchizedek, but chapter 3 through 10 of the epistle to the Hebrews and Psalm 110 verse 4 tell how God the Father designated his own Son Jesus Christ, the perfect high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. We are at the end of Epiphany season. When Jesus was made manifest, the first turning of water into wine points that Jesus is the Son of God. Second, he has come to bring the wine and made glad the heart of his people. The third, let us remember that the blood of Christ has shed for us and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And let us look forward to drinking wine in glory, in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.